What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Hot Shots. I'm JD Johnstone. With me always are my two favorite co-hosts, Houdini and D-Paul. What's poppin', boys?
Yo, how we doing?
Jedi, Dino, good to see you as always.
But before we go into trending, I have a little quick game that I wanted to play with you guys. Little blind resume test. I'm going to give you some little facts about a player, an ex-player. He's not an active player. And see if you can guess the guy. So, center fielder from Oklahoma finished second in MVP voting in 2011. And from 2008 to 2012, averaged .292 batting average, 27 home runs, and 92 RBIs. Do you guys have any guesses off the top of your head? I'll give you more guesses if you need one.
What did you say, 2011 MVP or second in MVP?
Second. Center fielder from Oklahoma.
Center fielder for Oklahoma, second in MVP in 2011.
Buster Posey.
Center field. Played center field.
Damn. Played center field.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You were way off.
Would you like a second hint?
Yeah.
He was a righty, and he was a righty thrower. Righty, righty. And I'll give you this last hint. West Coast guy. He's known for playing for a West Coast team. He did play on a few teams, but known for West Coast.
Yo, D-Paul, who was the center fielder for the Dodgers? Andre Ethier?
Oh, he wrong guy, no, right team.
Corner. He was corner.
Right team. No, center field.
No, Ethier was a corner outfielder.
Was the guy for so many years and then just fell off the face of the planet. Was a Padre,
hit?
Too. He also was a Brave. He got traded. It was a big deal.
He was a
Do
Padre,
you guys have any more guesses?
A Brave and a Dodger.
He was also in the Yasiel Puig deal that went to the Reds. He had two stints with the Dodgers. The answer is Matt Kemp.
Damn.
Wow.
Matt Kemp was good.
He was good.
He was the guy for a few years, and then just, like I said, fell off the face of the planet. Also, too, little sports fact of the day. This one's on Shohei Ohtani. We were talking about him in Trout versus Ohtani. After coming to America, Shohei was unsure how to spell his name correctly in English, so when filling out paperwork, he decided to put the letter H in his name, in his last name. The more you know.
Interesting.
Moving on into trending, though. This was an absolute awesome week in baseball. Boys. Tim Anderson got popped, clicked, cooked by J-Ram, whatever you want to call it, with the right hook. It was absolutely awesome to watch. What was your guys' reaction?
I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
I was a huge fan of it.
But I just want to be very clear here, right? Like, that is your typical street fight right there. Like, the glove came down, and Tim Anderson looks like he's done this a couple times.
Let me clarify. Tim Anderson did not trip on anything. I saw him tweeting. No, buddy, you didn't trip, buddy. You got clipped.
No.
Bad.
No, you got stone cold. But it's a blind haymaker that happens to connect. You know, like
and in a baseball fight, like it's not like a hockey fight. Like you're lucky if you get a shot in, and he got a shot in. And I think, you know, the funny part about it too was the ump getting out of the way. And, like, Kopech was in there, too, was just like, whoa, all right, I'm done. Nope, I'm
Bro,
good.
Like, I know a lot of people right now are probably talking about the fight. I think it's more interesting that none of his teammates helped him. I think that's a very interesting point. It seems like everybody was trying to break it up rather than actually help him fight J-Ram.
Well, did you hear the report then that came out, I don't know, the next day about him and Yasmani Grandal before the All-Star break?
Yup, Grandal wanted to leave before the All-Star break because he wasn't in the lineup, and Tim Anderson said, F him. If he doesn't want to be here, I'll pay for his flight out. And Grandal walked over and slapped him in the face. So it tells you a lot about what the White Sox are thinking of this dude.
Slapped him.
Definitely not a team guy. But also wanted to let both of you know and everybody listening that Tim Anderson had to go through a concussion protocol, and he did pass the concussion protocol via the White Sox beat reporter. But
got knocked out.
Tim Anderson, congrats on your bobblehead night. It was awesome to watch. Moving on, NHL. D-Paw, Dino, you're going to appreciate this. Penguins acquire Erik Karlsson from the Sharks in a three-team trade with the Canadiens. A lot of moving pieces. Karlsson's obviously the star of this trade, the big piece moving. Penguins
Love
are
it.
Obviously getting better. D-Paw, I see you already excited. D-Paw's a Penguins fan. I don't want to talk about the trade itself because we know the type of talent that Carlson is. I want to try to grade this trade. Do you think out of the three teams, was this a fair trade all the way around? Was it a steal on one side, or did someone really overpay?
From the Penguins' perspective, I think it's an A+. No doubt about it. They get the reigning Norris Trophy, the best offensive defenseman in the game right now, and the power play quarterback that they desperately needed too, because the power play, for as much talent as it has been dysfunctional. So love it. The crazy part about this trade too is the Penguins give up Michael Granlund, Jan Ruda, Jeff Petrie, and their backup goalie Casey DeSmith, flip their first rounder next year and their second rounder the year after that. Okay, you might think that's giving up a lot, but you're getting a stud back, and with all of that shedding they did, they actually saved $3 million in cap space, bringing in the best defenseman in the game right now. So I absolutely love it. You know, I could care less about who they got rid of. Granlund, Ruda, Petrie. Petrie was decent, but like nothing great. I love the deal from the Penguins. And on the other side of it, I don't know. I know Carlson was very angry in San Jose and wanted out. So you got to look at it from that side. Like, he wasn't going to be re-signing with them. So, you know, all in all, I think it's a great trade all around, but I'm biased from being a Penguins fan.
Penguins get an A+. You nailed everything on the head. They get an offensive defenseman.
Yep.
He had 101 points last year. Like, he was a minus 26, but when you look at the minus 26 playing for San Jose,
yeah, playing really on a matter, bad right? team.
Yeah, yeah. Like that doesn't translate at all. You know, so when you look at special teams, 5-on-5, he's exactly what you want in a defenseman. I do think when you look at it, if you're like an outsider looking at a hockey deal, it's easy to jump to conclusions, and you said it, like, you can look at it and be like, wow, they gave up a lot. But even like the first and second round picks, like,
right.
let's be it's realistic hockey. Here. Yeah, like those first and second round picks, unless they're the one or the two, you're not seeing for 3 or 4 years.
Right.
So this was a trade that the Penguins needed now, and they needed it for a couple reasons. One, to stay relevant. Two, like, let's not pretend like the Metropolitan is not the best division in hockey.
100% is. Yeah.
You know, so last year, you're sitting there looking at who came out of the Metro, the Devils, Hurricanes, and Rangers, and – you know, like the Islanders.
I mean, right. Pens missed out by 1 point. Islanders missed out by, I think, 2. Easily the deepest and will continue to be the deepest division in hockey. And Dino, you were touching on it. They had to do this. You know, Sidney Crosby is, what, 36, 37 years old. Gino's about the same.
This is
Tanger's about old. Right. Like, this is the last push. You give up a lot. You know, player-wise, it really wasn't. It was like, in my opinion, it was like the equivalent of, like, just adding on a bunch of players in NHL. And then getting a stud back out of it. Like, it was a trade that I didn't think would happen, and I'm honestly shocked what they gave up for getting Carlson.
Do I think it's enough? I don't, but I do think...
I think they make the playoffs. They missed out for the first time in 18 years last year by 1 point. You know, and it was a bad way to do it, but I think they get in there, and then, you know, anything can happen in the Stanley Cup playoffs, but you got to get there.
Yeah, I think they had a prime opportunity to get in, and they had a bad loss. I forget who the bad loss was.
Blackhawks.
Yeah, it was the Blackhawks.
And then the Blue Jackets.
Yeah, so look, they had a prime opportunity to get in. They lost back-to-back games, 5-2, 3-2, against some shitters of hockey clubs. But it is their final push.
Yeah, D-Paul, like you said, anything can happen in the Stanley Cup. Look what happened to the Florida Panthers. Nobody expected them
to
go on the run that they did. Let me tell
you that. That's who got in instead of the Penguins.
Yeah. Definitely a disappointing Stanley Cup, though. They got embarrassed.
that doesn't matter. Like, the fact that they got there, there was guys playing with broken sternums, broken feet, broken hips, strained obliques. Like, dude, to get there, they gave everything they could.
I want to take a moment to just say this on the pod. That way it's here. I'm going to tell everybody right now, a Yankees tease is coming. The New York Yankees. Here comes the hot streak. They just got out of playing Houston, split the series, didn't look too bad, playing the White Sox. I'm telling you right now, there is a tease coming where this Yankees team is going to get so hot and go on a streak, go on a run, They're going to blow past the wild card, and it's almost going to look like they're going to make the playoffs, and a division run is in the push. And guess what? Right when everybody's ready to buy back in, they're just going to rip your heart out, just like every single damn year, and the pain, misery, and suffering will never end.
Oof.
Just wanted to take a minute to say that.
No, I'm going to be honest with you. If I didn't know you, I would think you were on drugs. But I know you.
And I know you're not on drugs.
And I know you're... Yeah, that's one. You're not on drugs. But two is, like, you are, like... Deep down, you want them to go on that run.
Because it excites me. And you know, one of the things I almost look the run. Things that I look forward to every year is going on this podcast and ranting my heart out about why the Yankees suck, why Cashman should be gone, Boone sucks, Hal needs to sell the team. It's just an annual thing almost. It's like a kind of like a Jedi, Yankees aesthetic. We keep it real.
Can you be honest with me? If the Yankees make the playoffs, are you going to get the changes that you want?
No. Even if they didn't, I don't think there's going to be changes. Come on.
If they don't make the playoffs, there's a greater chance that they make changes than if they make the playoffs.
I don't think Cashman goes either way.
I don't give a shit if he goes.
I do.
I just want changes. I don't care what they are.
Well, that's change that needs to happen.
I'm not talking staff. I'm not talking player personnel. I'm talking about complete changes, overhaul.
Mm.
I think a whole front office needs to go to the whole analytic department too, but that's just me. Freddie Freeman, though, having an absolutely unreal season. This season, he's putting together the best season of his career at age 33. Guy's batting .444 since the All-Star break. His 2023 numbers are a .340 batting average, 23 home runs, 80 RBIs with a 1,012 OPS and a 169 OPS plus. MVP? I know a lot of people were talking about Acuna walking away with this, but dude, I don't know. Their numbers look very, very similar, but dude, with the thing that Freeman's putting together, makes you question it a little bit. Freeman also has a little bit of an edge in a lot of these numbers. He's leading. He has a better batting average. He has more RBIs. He has a better OPS, and he has a better OPS plus. Only thing that Acuna really has is he has like two more homers than him right now, and he has all those stolen bases, which everybody is kind of going crazy about right now. He is 53, by the way.
Yeah, so awesome. Which is unbelievable, because I'm pretty sure a while ago we were talking about someone joining the 40-40 club.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I said I would never see it again in my lifetime. And I think he's giving me reason to kind of go back on it now. That's an adjustment based on the rules that were made to baseball, you know, to kind of speed things up. So I do think it's possible. But I do think it's Acuna's to lose at this point. I'm not saying Freddie's not having an MVP season. He definitely is.
I agree.
But I think it's Acuna's to lose.
Agree 100%. And I think Acuna would really have to tank, like, the last month of the year and it'd be severe, and Freddie keeps it up. He keeps hitting .400 post All-Star break.
Yeah, dude. Freddie Freeman, it's absolutely unreal. I saw a stat the other day, all of his numbers as a Brave, and then his first year last year with the Dodgers, and then now he has slowly gotten better as he's aged, which is unheard of. The dude's a machine. I don't know what that guy's on, but
I've always liked Freddie.
Yeah. Oh, so have I. Everybody loves Freddie. How could you not love Freddie? Matt Olson, talking about another Brave. Very underrated season. I just wanted to touch on this because I don't think he gets enough love. 39 home runs this season, one shy of Ohtani. He has 40. I feel like he's living in the shadow of Acuna. We were just talking about him. They're both on the same team. So I think everybody's praising Acuna for the fantastic season that he's having, that everybody's overlooking Matt Olson. He's having an MVP season for himself. Obviously nowhere near of what Acuna and what Freddie Freeman are having, but we got to show some Matt Olson some love.
Love it. Having an absolute monster year, and to boot, Jedi, 99 RBIs at this point too. So like the Braves have 5 on the Pirates right now, so maybe he's got over 100 right now. But one of the other things I love about Olson too is when he hits the ball, it just jumps off the bat. He hits absolute mammos. I think he hit a 440-some-foot bomb in Wrigley the other day. It's just unbelievable how far the ball goes.
I just don't think he gets enough love because he replaced Freeman.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And like, a direct replacement, too, right?
Yeah, like, if Freeman wasn't there, you'd be talking about Olsen being one of the best first basemen of all time. But because it was like a, you know, oh, you replaced Freddie, they expected him to have a good year.
Yeah.
But he's putting up some monster numbers. Who also has a sweet swing.
He does.
He does. He does. Go check that out if you're into sweet swings. We rank sweet swings this past week. But that's going to be all for us here. If you ever need to keep up to date with your sports news, then Hot Shots Podcast is the place for you. So subscribe and follow to all of our channels at Hot Shots Podcast on all platforms. Other than that, we will see you next time.